Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his. In his place of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Open your Bibles, please, again to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is how David starts out. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Can you feel the determination and resolve in David's voice? He's speaking to himself, to his own soul. Do you speak to yourself? Paul Tripp said, "No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one else talks to you more than you do." Humorous, but perhaps true. We speak to ourselves. We carry on dialogue all day long. But there's another that resides in us if we belong to the Lord Jesus, and that's the Spirit of God, who leads out our hearts. In the midst of all the things that are going on in our lives that entangle us easily and divert us and distract us, the Spirit speaks to us very clearly. And sometimes we listen. Other times we ignore him. But he calls our souls to worship. Bless the Lord, O my soul, a resolve, a determination on each of our parts to say, I'm going to bless God in my circumstances, because, as his psalm makes so very clear in the words that we've been singing, he's Lord, he's sovereign, he is in control of all of life. And so David blesses the Lord's name. It is said that the psalms are an anatomy of all parts of the soul, and certainly this one digs deep into our hearts and says, this is what you've been created for. You have been called as children of God out of darkness into light. And you have been given great hope through this message of the gospel. You possess the Holy Spirit living within you, and now you've been created to sing forth his praises. But how different that is than my experience bears out. I get under my circumstances so often. I look at everything around me and I wonder how it's going to get done and if I have the resources to accomplish it. And so often I don't. And I get discouraged so very easily and frightened. And before I know it, fear is leading me instead of God's Spirit. And then the Lord gets my attention and He says, "See, that's what I wanted you to come to the conclusion all along, is that you can't do life on your own. It is overwhelming. There is too much. That's life. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Now bless the Lord, O my soul. Find your strength in Him." What does He do? He gives us benefits. Whenever you contemplate the possibility of taking a job, there's always the benefit package, you know, and we always look at what those benefits are, how many vacation weeks we get, what's the insurance options, and on and on and on, sick days. And those things are important to us, and sometimes we land a good job with good benefits. Oftentimes in today's world, we don't, but sometimes we do. In spite of the fact that you do get good insurance benefits or other options and benefits, after a while, it's something that you can take for granted, isn't it? And you can look around and look at what other people have and begin to complain and say, "Oh, I just don't have it as well as somebody else." David didn't look around. He looked to the Lord, and he determined that he was going to praise God with his heart and soul and not forget those benefits. And what are they? He says, "Who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." And in the next several verses throughout this psalm, he uses this parallelism. It's a synonymous parallelism where he says one thing and then he rephrases it in the next line. And so the second line sort of embellishes the first, but it gives a sort of different nuance to the meaning. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of His benefits, who pardons your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." When you think of what the gospel means to us, that we are forgiven, that He took our debt, as large as it was, and He canceled it. No matter what you have done, what kind of life you have lived, what mistakes you have made, how you have sinned or offended or hurt people, Christ took that debt and He wrote cancel, because He died for us on the cross and He shed His precious blood to wash away our sins. When we accepted Him by faith as our Lord and Savior, we entered into this covenant relationship with Him. That's the good news, that our iniquities, our sins have been pardoned and healed. There is no consequences. They have been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all we do is reap the benefits now of life eternal, peace with God, the presence of God's Spirit living within us throughout the day and week and year, throughout our lifetime. What a joy we have. He redeems your life from the pit. You know, my wife's Bible that I'm using here has a picture. I'd love if I could show it to you, but it's of God's arm reaching down into this big pit and this little frail arm reaching up, and God grabbing around the wrist and pulling this child out of the pit. What he says is, in reality, that's what God did for him over and over, what God has done for us. We were in a pit we could not get out of. Redemption is that God, through Christ, came into that pit which we were held captive, and He lifted us to safety, and He made us His children. And He gave us His name. And He crowned us with loving kindness and compassion. So not only does He lift us out, but then He puts this crown on our head of His love and His kindness and compassion. He uses this word, loving kindness, which is found only in the Old Testament. And it depicts this covenant relationship that God has with those who have come to Him. His children, which He chose, Israel, and all those under the new covenant who have accepted Jesus Christ by the faith, are recipients of this loyal love of God that encompasses His mercy and grace continually, day in and day out. That's God's posture toward His children. We are the delight of His eyes. We are His pleasure. We are His presence on earth. You and me. Imagine that. Sometimes it's hard for me to imagine that I am the pleasure of God. I'd like to think I was, but oftentimes I have a hard time accepting myself because of what I might do or my attitudes or what I might say. And then I come back to the cross and I say, Lord, You have bought me as Your child. You have given me that forgiveness and that freedom in Jesus Christ. I am the delight of Your eyes, the apple of Your eye. He says the benefits include that He has satisfied your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. God knows and gives us good pleasures to enjoy while we're on earth. He knows what makes us happy. He loves us enough to not only bless us with salvation, but to bless us and care for us during our earthly pilgrimage. He loves us, and He delights in us and wants us to enjoy our lives. And so He gives us good gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Don't feel guilty enjoying the good gifts of God. Bless His name. Give Him thanks for it. Because there will be difficult times as well. And the same One who gives good gifts also allows things to happen in our lives for our good. And so we can't have one without the other. But when God blesses us, take it as a gift and praise His name, because He does satisfy us with good things. And then He tells us that the Lord performs righteous deeds. And this is David writing again. And I would have thought that he would have looked back now, taken a historical perspective on his own life, and maybe pointed to that valley of Elah where he fought against the giant and said, the Lord took care of me. I just had, you know, 5 smooth stones, and look what he did. But instead, David goes back to history, and he's appealing to a broader audience, and he's saying, it's not just me, but look what God has done for Israel. He took a people that were captive for 430 years. He heard their cry. His heart attended to their cry, and he responded in compassion because he loved them. This is the God who has revealed Himself concretely in history. And He has done the same thing for you and me. He has revealed Himself over and over in wonderful ways. But unless we recount these benefits, and we name them one by one, we enumerate them, we will forget. Remember Jesus, in Luke 17, He heals 10 lepers. And these guys were crying out, and Jesus saw them, and He heals them. And as soon as they're healed, what do? They jump and they leap, and they're so excited, and they run off. And as they're running, one of them remembers, hey, weren't we just healed by this man? And he stops, and he turns around, and he goes, and he falls at the feet of the Lord, and he says, thank you for healing me. Jesus said to His disciples, where are the other 9? Yeah. It's not that we often intend to just diss God or overlook what He's done, but we fail to remember. We fail to recount. We fail to take time to process. Journal, folks. Write it down. Talk about it among yourselves, among your family. Talk about the goodness of God. Boast about Him and exalt His holy name. That brings glory to God. And it helps us to realize that the Lord is in control, sovereign, and the one who is blessing us continually. He took care of the children of Israel through the wilderness journey. He revealed himself in compassion and grace. He was slow to anger. He was abounding in loving kindness. And can you remember the backdrop for this? Of course. You know, they saw the manna. They saw the water coming out of the rock, but they still complained. Moses left and they constructed idols out of gold. They continually complained. They got to the brink of the promised land and they had to turn back. And God spun them around for 40 years because they were afraid to go in because of the giants. They weren't walking by faith. And yet in all that, God was compassionate. He was slow to anger. He was abounding in loving kindness. And he was willing, even though they weren't going to go in to the promised land, he was willing to teach them over and over again the lessons that they could trust God. And God is working with us in the same way. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He cares for us because he loves us. That's his nature. And so, what a wonderful God we have. It says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. This is another parallelism, that God does not keep his anger toward us because his nature is to forgive us. There's a great verse in Micah. It's Micah chapter 7. It says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. This is what God delights in. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. This is how our God is. This is his nature. He loves us and he cares for us and he forgives us because that's who he is and that's how he operates. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the heavens, the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I think about this. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that? Can you measure how far the east is from the west? That's how far he's removed my sins from me. He remembers them no more. He chooses to remove them. They're not here next to me. He's not looking at me through them any longer. He has removed them from me. And so I stand before him in Christ completely justified and righteous because of what Christ has done for me. Have you claimed that? You might know that intellectually, but do you know that in your heart? And do you operate like that? I'm a righteous child of God. I belong to him. I'm a saint, made a saint by what Christ has done for me. If we know that, we must by faith believe it and accept it and live it out. And then he's got the image of a father. He says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Tells us again what God is like. He's a compassionate father. He's not a strict rule, driven, overbearing, punishing God. He's a compassionate God on those who fear him. And his children are those who fear him. He says fear twice or three times in this psalm. And it's an indication of what his children are like, that his children give him respect. They know that he is God and that he does not play favorites. He's not partial. He's just, he's righteous, but he's also very compassionate. So those who fear him come to him in their weakness and in their brokenness, and they find complete forgiveness at the cross because of what Christ has done for us. But as our Father, our desire is to always live in a manner that pleases him, because he is our Heavenly Father. He is God. And we love him, and we want to bring him pleasure. He looks at us and he remembers our frame. He's mindful that we're but dust. From dust we came, and to dust we shall return. Well, at least men are dust, right? Women aren't dust. They were taken from man's side. So there's a little joke in one of the, what was the, help me out here, Johnny. The Mr. Whitaker Ventures. Yeah, where one of the characters say, men are dirt. Women are taken from man's side, but men are dirt. And that was a, anyway, you had to be there for that. Ultimately, we're the same composition. God loves us, and he understands our frame. He knows what we're like. And so he reasons with us, and he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God cares about us, and he reasons with us, and he condescends to us because he loves us. These are marvelous truths about God, and they should lead out our hearts to give him praise and to bless his name. He reminds us that as for man, our days are like grass, the flower of the field, so it flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. No. This is our life. You know, the older you get, I've got to say, the older I get, the more I realize how fast life passes. You see the ones you love go on to be with the Lord, and you think, wow, their life was like a vapor. It was like a shadow. It shouldn't have left this quickly. And then you look in the mirror and you realize, my life is going very quickly too. It's not just days, but it's decades that have passed. That's life. He tells us that life, our lives are like the flower of the field. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. So what do we do? How do we live in light of that? We live a life that acknowledges the goodness of God, that realizes that though we are very temporal in our bodies, God has made us eternal in our souls. And he has bestowed on us a loving kindness that is eternal. We are created for him, and to him we shall return. If we have placed our faith and confidence in Christ, we will soon be in his presence. That's the hope of every believer. And in our absence, there's a blessing. As we live our lives as those who bless the name of the Lord, there's a promise that comes to our children and to their children that they too will remember the goodness of God. In verse 18, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and his righteousness to children's children. God will bring to remembrance to those you leave behind the goodness of God because of the life you've led. I think of so many who have been here among us and who are now gone on to be with the Lord. I think of Jack Gill. Some of you don't know who Jack is. He died 5 years after we came. We got to know him for a little while. But the impact of his life has made tremendous impact. He was one of those with Bryce and others who have helped to form this church. And now his son is an elder here. and his grandchildren are hearing God's word. The impact of his life is from generation to generation. It's the goodness of God. What's the impact of your life? Live in such a way that that impact will continue, that that influence will be felt. The people will see you as one who lives to bless the Lord and to sing praises to God, not as one who complains about life and is always living under the circumstances, but one who recognizes that God is on the throne. He is sovereign. He rules over all. And so David says in verse 20, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you his works, in all places of his dominion." It's a call to all of us. Who doesn't fit into one of those categories? Whether you're in heaven or on earth, every creature is called to give praise to his name and to exalt him because he's God. That's what we did this morning when we sang. We encouraged each other. We united our hearts and our voices to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's live that life day in and day out. I don't know about you, but I can do a lot better with this. I am determined to not allow my life to be characterized by one who's in fear, one who complains, one who gossips or talks about other people, but one who walks with God, and one who blesses the name of the Lord, and one who exalts him and looks for God in every detail of life and talks about it. That's my goal. I would like to challenge each of us, if we were to take just 10 minutes a day, and whatever it is that really encourages your heart, to praise God. You know, take a hymn, take a praise song, take a scripture passage, read that Ephesians 1, which we read responsively, and think about all the blessings that we have in Christ, and try to wrap your mind around just one or two of those things, just for 10 minutes a day. I am assured that it would radically change our lives, the way we think, the course of our day, how we treat other people, the things we talk about, the things we think about. There's no one who talks to themselves more than we talk to ourselves. We need to talk to our souls like David did and point ourselves back to what he points himself to bless the Lord and to exalt his name, to be people of praise. That's what the Apostle Peter says we are to be. He's called us out of darkness that we might declare his praises. That's why we're here. Pretty simple. Can we do that? We sure have enough to praise him for, don't we? What would you like to praise God for? I'd like to take just a moment or two. As you think about the benefits that God has bestowed on you, your family, get personal, or stay general, our nation, you know, whatever it might be, our church. What would you like to praise God for? Our God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace to us. You have demonstrated this loving kindness, this covenant love toward those who have come to you. We are your children because of what Jesus has done for us. How we thank you for that, Lord, and love you because of what you have done for us. We ask, Lord, that you might make us agents of your love and of your grace and of your loving kindness in a world that is so needy. Help us, Lord, to share that love, to disseminate that grace, to pour out that mercy, to forgive, to be gentle, to be patient, to be kind, and to speak the truth that is foolishness to those who might reject it. but is life to those whose hearts you are preparing even now. Help us, Lord, to speak truth in love. We need your help, Lord. We ask for your goodness and your wonders to be known among us, and that you would give us hearts that would praise you and give thanks to you in every situation for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.